Hello, thank you for visiting Crossroad International Church, a Christian community in the heart of Kuwait consisting of believers from dozens of countries around the world. Our vision is to see all people in Kuwait know, believe, and model the unconditional love and life-giving hope of Jesus. We hope you're blessed by the message this morning.
My kids are braids. But kids are a ton, you might not know this, kids, but kids are a ton of work. There's a lot of work. I've not slept well in almost 10 years. And just the instruction, the repeating of things, the trying to do the gentle parenting before it turns into a cage match every single day. My kids are confused every single day. Like, it's bath time now? Like, we've done this every day since you were born. Why do I do it? And why do people even have kids? It's because I have conviction that there will one day be a time where I will reap something good, blessing and joy, having people around my table that will hopefully love me and I can enjoy and be with forever for the rest of my life. And that's kind of that's an example of what it means to have faith, right? We think of faith, it's a spiritual word, but it can mean anything. It's belief, right? It's about hope. It's like an assurance of what you think will happen in the future. Hebrews 11 says this, that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Right? Assurance of what you're hoping for and conviction of unseen things, unseen realities, unseen future. And people have lots of faith in lots of different things. And for many of us, it's ourselves, right? We believe that we have fierce determination and drive, that we will get it done. We will pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, right? If you look at just all the self-help books are just a variation of that feed. That you can do it, we believe in you, and we're going to use some tweaks on your life that will make you successful, and you can have assurance in yourself. Some people have faith in the government will help them, that will save them, that it will bring all that they need in this life. You have faith in your spouse, that they will make you happy, in your friends, in your money, in your experiences, in your luck. And now we're in the middle of a war, and now people are looking for faith and information. If I know enough, if I scroll the social media and the news enough, that will give me assurance that I will know what I'm doing going forward and where I should be doing. Being over a month into the war, you should have none of those things have validity or value. There is no assurance in this world. And it's only Jesus that we can fully trust because he gives us eternal life. So here's my big idea for my sermon today. It's that faith in Jesus' resurrection overcomes every difficulty. So Matthew 28, starting in verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Amen. God bless reading this word. So, life, as you know, has difficulties. Jesus was a young Jewish rabbi who did miracles. He gathered his disciples, including these Marys that we see in the text here. Right? He told people that he was Messiah and he was God's son. He was to be the hope of the Jews. But he told his disciples also that he would die and rise. Pharisees plotted his death because they didn't like him. They didn't like that he was taking all the crowds, that he was proclaiming to be God. And they succeeded. The women saw Jesus. These women saw Jesus being crucified. And just imagine the anguish that they had. They had faith in Jesus that he would reestablish his kingdom on earth. In Israel, in Jerusalem, they were all hoping for that he would be the one they could place their hope and trust into. But it died with the death of Jesus. And here they are, these women, on the third day after the Sabbath, after the Jewish Shabbat, they came to perfume the body, to mourn and to experience his death because they couldn't do it on the Sabbath. So for us, many of us have had dreams destroyed or crushed or have experienced deep loss in this life. Even for myself, I've experienced much loss and pain and difficulty. I remember my dad's funeral and just seeing the body there that was not him. It brings deep grief to me even today to think about it. I don't think about it much, but talking about it makes me think about it. We've all experienced this. And the Bible says that hope deferred makes the heart sick, right? And there's dreams and desires and things you wanted to place your faith in that have failed you. And that makes your heart sick. We've gone through trials, obstacles, suffering. It's part and parcel to this fallen and broken place that we live in. And the grief that we experience is real. Right? The sickness, the pain, the hurt, the brokenness, and finally, death comes for every one of us. So the world has no assurances. Even if the world promised you that everything you've ever wanted will come to you, all the things that you desire, you had them right now, you would still grow old and die and perish. Because we die. However, even though the life has difficulties, we're in a war. Things are scary at times. People are not sleeping at times. People are losing their minds. People are thinking they want to get out. What do we do? Life has many difficulties. However, Jesus overcomes the ultimate difficulty, which is death. So you see this angel, he caused an earthquake. He rolled back the tomb. These women were awestruck and afraid, right? You see hardened Roman soldiers, how one of the best armies in human history. And their guard was set for them. They're face down on the ground. And the angel says, "Jesus is alive." Wait, how could that be? That's impossible. And to assure them, this is why he's saying all these things. Like, see, I told you. See, come with me. He's grabbing them by the hand because they're probably just like completely dumbstruck, grabbing them, saying, come over here. This is his grave clothes. It's not in them. Go, do these things because he is alive. Go quickly. Go now. Get out of here and find him. He's alive. And I've been to the garden too. Some of us have in Jerusalem. And you can kind of see the stone rolled away on a trap, which could have been something akin to what Jesus' tomb was when he came out of it. A stone that takes many men to open. This angel did it in an instant. So they had fear because their understanding of Jesus has changed, right? He died. His kingdom is gone. They're realized thinking they amounted to nothing. But that turns into joy because of what Jesus has done. He rose from the dead and is better than they possibly imagined. Their master, their rabbi is back, and they are running. They are moving quickly to find him because this changes everything. We also must believe. Our only hope, the only thing we can have conviction and assurance of, which is what faith is in the resurrection of Jesus. We can have assurance and conviction of this today. There is proof of this. The women were the first to see him. If this was made up, this would have had men be the first people to see him because women did not count as witnesses. And we see in the Bible thousands of years, over 1,000 years, the value that God and Jesus and the writers of these gospels placed in women against the culture, right? That culture women were not allowed to be citizens. They were not viable witnesses. And that shows you that the gospel writers were telling the truth. Why would they make something up that would be countercultural? Also, Jesus appeared to over 500 people, right? As Jomola read the scriptures. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time. Most of whom, when he wrote this, were still living. So this is a historical proof. He's saying, if there's other people who want to doubt me or counter this, I'm talking about 500 people. If those 500 people would have had to all conspire to say he's alive if he wasn't. So he's saying this is a proof in history. People would come up to him and say, is this true? And if it wasn't true, we have records of that. But 500 people all had the same experience of seeing Jesus. This record also is close to the time of his resurrection. The book of 1 Corinthians, one of the earlier books in the New Testament, is written around 50 AD. And even in 50 AD, Paul repeats a formula, a creedal formula that's already has been said by the way the text is written. So religious scholars say this is probably written, the creed itself, between a few months to a few years after the actual resurrection, right? He says, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 at the same time most of them are still alive. So that section is something from something older that Paul's already repeating. So we have reason to believe there is hard evidence that Jesus came back from the dead. And because Jesus came back from the dead, resurrection faith yields worship and eternal life. So suddenly, as they're running to tell the disciples, they see him. They see Jesus, and they are probably very surprised. right? And he says, shalom to you. That's the word, right? Peace to you. Their hope was fully realized. Their faith became far more than what they thought it could be. They saw him murdered. They saw him crucified. They saw him dying, and he died. And they see him now alive. Just imagine how that would be. And they respond appropriately. They worshiped him, it says. They bowed down and worshiped him because they believe, as we should believe, I'm with the team that Jesus came back alive. Right? I'll worship that guy. Not just a man, not just a prophet. Don't be deceived. It's God in the flesh, and he came back from death. That's, and they make this physical connection. He's not just a ghost either, or just a figment. They're grabbing his feet. They're feeling him. They see his body. Later, he says to Thomas, here, see the wound, the scars of my hands and of my feet. Place your hand here. Thomas also worships him. My Lord and my God, he said, right? And these disciples fearlessly evangelized the known world at the time. And they all, except for John, died terrible, horrible martyrs' deaths. Because they knew, they had the unshakable conviction, that full assurance that Jesus was alive. And it's like, my life, if I have to die for this, I absolutely will, because I know that Jesus is there. That's where I'm going, because I'm with him. And that's why Easter changes everything about what we think and feel and believe. Because life is just not about now. This life is not all there is. The curse of death is eliminated through the resurrection of Jesus. Because Jesus takes the curse of death, he reverses it in his own life, and that reversal continues to happen until he returns and brings all of his people into his kingdom. And we'll be with them forever. Full restoration. And that changes everything. Like Jumal read, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. So if you believe in Jesus, that he died for our sins and rose again, we will also rise from the dead with him. And his resurrection shows that we will also be resurrected. That's the whole point. He came back from the dead to show us, if we believe in him, we will also be with him. We will rise from the dead like him. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom of God, the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Death is thrown to the lake of fire, along with all those who don't believe, along with the devil and all his servants. Every authority. So yes, there's authorities that are causing this war. Evil, demonic forces trying to destroy people. But every authority is under the final authority of Jesus. He has a spiritual and eternal kingdom. The greatest empires that ever existed, like the Roman Empire in which Jesus placed himself, they fall. They disintegrate. We could be at the end of many empires today. But his kingdom is a kingdom that will last forever. It's an eternal kingdom. And he is restoring everything until he returns to destroy all those evil authorities, all the evil in your life, all the grief, all the pain, all the suffering, all the war. All the fear, he is going to say, I'm going to subject all of that under me. I'm going to destroy that and destroy those people who caused that. And then death is gone as well. So if you believe that Jesus died for our sins and he rose again on the third day, he will return to destroy death and take us with him into his eternal kingdom. Now, it starts now. We have the eternal life now, but it will extend beyond our own lifetimes. Because one day, if he doesn't come back now, while we're alive, we will die. But the sting of death is removed because we know that we will rise. We will, as soon as we close our eyes, right, that's as close as hell that we will get, and it will be with Jesus forever. Till he restores us to our bodies at his second coming, and we are with him forever in a kingdom that cannot fade. God, and even in this life, God does miracles and amazing things to show his value. As many of you know, Stephanie and I have tried to have kids for 10 years, and doctors from the best hospitals of the world have said, you have unexplained infertility. You will never have kids. And 2 months later, we conceived. And not only did we have one, we had two kids. God works miracles, but the reason he works those things in our lives, in me and Stephanie's life, today, many people in this room could tell you stories of what God has done in their life, is to show us that's not about the thing that we want. It's about who made it happen. As we worship him as a result. When we see the things that God does in our lives, don't chalk it up to yourself. Say, this God can do these things. What else is awaiting for us at the other side of this life? In this life and on the other side. Yes. Sometimes God does ask us to wait. Not all of our dreams will be fully fulfilled in this life. There is suffering. That is real. But we can live without fear. Even in the waiting. Even in the difficulties. Even in the middle of a war. We can live without fear. You don't need to be afraid. Yes, of course, we taking precautions. We're not cavalier as believers, but we can live without fear because we know that even if we get hit by a missile, the next second we'll be with Jesus. Even in a situation like this, and it will last forever. Because one day, if this war drags on for years, Jesus will one day come back and restore his kingdom. Ultimately, all our faith and desires and hopes and dreams must be, can only be put on Jesus. The conviction of the unseen things, the assurance of our hope can only be placed on Jesus, because here's what it says in Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Sorry. And death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Amen, right? That's where I want to be. Yes, there's many things to enjoy in this life, but you will be missing out on nothing if you're with him. You miss out on nothing. Just like in the garden, right? In the garden, in the people of ancient Israel, the plan was the dwelling place of God be with men, but we messed it up. But Jesus came. He lived a perfect life. So all to do is believe in him. We don't have to keep the law. Yes, we try to live good lives, but it's what Jesus did for us on the cross that we can say, when we die, God's going to say, "What? Why should I let you into my heaven?" So, because Jesus, he took my sin. He took my punishment on the cross. So I have hope. I do have conviction that raising my kids will yield joy. But you never know, right? But Jesus gives 100% assurance of eternal joy. And if you are not sure with your relationship with Jesus, or you're far from Jesus now, ask God to show you the truth. Read about the resurrection, right? There are four different accounts that talk about this, not including the letters that talk about the resurrection of Christ. It is Easter. And share that life of death and resurrection. Listen in your car. Listen to worship music about the resurrection in Christ alone. Great song about the resurrection. At the gym, whatever you are doing, you can fill your minds and your hearts with that hope and conviction as we read the Bible and worship through music and pray for belief. In Matthew 9:24, about Jesus healing, bringing back to life a daughter of Jairus, he says, "I believe, help my unbelief." Right? There are times where we be tempted to be like, is this real? You ask God, say, show me this is real. Help my unbelief. Change it into full belief and assurance and conviction. Ask God for the truth. God will always answer that prayer. Be open to it. God will, and he does, and he continues to speak to us today. Because of the resurrection, Jesus says, in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So we're in this situation. We think it's out of our control. We think that we read enough and we know enough. That's not true. Those things will help you. But if you trust in Jesus, if you know that all authority in heaven and earth will be given to Jesus, Jesus, for some reason, is allowing this to happen. And he's not surprised. Like, oh my gosh, my people are in a war in Kuwait. How am I going to save them? No, that's not how Jesus is. Jesus knows what's happening. He's going to connect us with him. He's going to bring us out of this in his timing, because he knows and does and rules all authorities on earth. There is no authority higher than Jesus. If we are connected with him, if you are not connected with him, you have no hope. Breakthroughs in your life, miracles in your life, chains of sin and addiction in your life. You can have unshakable conviction that he will bring you those. He will deliver you from those things. These women did not go back, I am sure, to their normal regular jobs and waiting for their early retirements. right? Their lives were turned upside down, and they, with the disciples, lived and served, and their whole trajectory of life was oriented towards Jesus and the resurrection. Spent their life serving him. And we can do the same here. We have a great opportunity right where we are. We have people who do not yet know Jesus. And we can share that with them. Some real good news that people right now desperately need. Because he can overcome every addiction and brokenness in our lives, in our work, in our relationships, in our how we deal with things like power and money and health and sex. The perspective of our life should be geared around the resurrection. Everything should be filtered through that lens. And any of things don't get better. That's hope that's deferred, not destroyed. It's deferred for a time. But one day, as we read in Revelation 21, everything that we've ever wanted, every hope that's been destroyed, everything that's not gone the way we wanted to, will be fully restored. Jesus allows this war for a purpose, online school for a purpose, this difficulty we're in for a purpose. I cannot tell you exactly what that is, but I know who does. And if I know that person, I am safe. You are safe. If you believe in Jesus, you are safe. Because Jesus will wipe away every tear. Maybe now, maybe later, but it's going to happen. So we must grab his feet and worship him with fearlessness and with joy. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for the resurrection. God, help me to believe and to continue to believe, and help us to filter our lives through what that means, that you lived, you died, and you came back from death, showing that that the sacrifice that you made for my sins was accepted, and that death could not hold you, and that we will one day be with you where you are. Give us this faith. The resurrection is real. It happened. We know it. And everything in our lives should be connected to that. Everything we do, everything we experience, every emotion that we feel, help us to filter that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ and our future resurrection. Because of his resurrection, we get to be resurrected. This life is not all there is. Give us a lack of fear. Give us boldness. Give us courage. Give us humility. Will this be an opportunity for us as believers to share and love and care for people that are terrified of what's happening right now? We love you, Jesus. Continue to bless this service. In the name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Crossroads International Church. If you have questions about how to pray for, give, or get involved with CIC, visit www.ciccoet.com or check out our Instagram and Facebook account at CICQA. Have a blessed day.